All right, and welcome back to Historians of the Movies podcast. I am your host and creator, Jason Herbert, and every single week we are bringing you discussions about history and film and film and history and everything else in between. And this is a week where we are talking about kind of everything in between, because a lot of people just heard yesterday, we lost Carl Weathers. He is this just amazing figure in the lives of many of us who are listening in, who like both history and film. And we thought it was, in a lot of ways, our two guests here actually really responsible. We actually are all kind of, our friendships are based on a movie that Carl Weathers starred in, going all the way back to Predator. And of course, I'm talking about two of my best friends in the entire world, two guys I just absolutely love and adore. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. I'm talking about Robert Greene II and Craig Bruce Smith. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This is late on Friday night. We just heard the news a couple hours ago. You wanted to jump in. So thanks for being here, guys, tonight.
Thanks for having us, especially. I think we're the only two you could scare up on such short notice.
Thanks for having us. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you're really like the last two friends on HATM. You're actually the first two friends, right? And I've told this story before, but the whole idea of HATM, even before we started the Sunday night thing like 6 years ago, kind of goes back to a conversation that the three of us kind of had on Twitter. We didn't really know each other. I had tweeted, or Craig had tweeted, or Rob had tweeted, whatever. We all ended up in a conversation on Twitter.
Yeah, there was like five people on Twitter back then. Back in the old days.
Back in the good days. Back in like 2017 Twitter, in the 140 character days or whatever it was back then, about how much we love the movie Predator. And this has been a running joke amongst us, a running fight amongst us between what our favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger film is. Arnold, of course, came out and gave a real nice talk about Carl Weathers today as well. Many people have. And then from there, we kind of had this discussion like, oh, wait, historians like movies too. Cool. And then here we are. I'm sitting in a dark basement because my internet doesn't really work properly. You guys are not in basements. Craig looks like he's got full electricity.
I do.
There. So, hey, for anybody.
That's what you get when you write something about Ben Franklin. You get electricity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I named a child after Ben Franklin, and I have no electricity right now. Just real quick, this might be some people's first time listening to the pod. You guys want to introduce yourselves and like what you do?
Rob, you want to go first?
Sure. I am Dr. Robert Greene II. I'm an assistant professor of history at Clafley University in South Carolina. I'm also the president of the African American Intellectual History Society, and I'm the co-host of the podcast Our New South with Kevin Blackstone.
Very excited about that pod, Rob.
He was also just featured by the American Historical Association as like the member of the month or some other fancy title.
I saw that. Did not name drop us at all.
No, because he's big time now.
Thanks for that. Doesn't hurt.
I am not big time. I can assure you of that.
So he now will be conducting the cattle call interviews in the AHA ballroom.
Oh, lovely. Craig, who are you? Why are you here, sir?
Craig Smith, or Craig Bruce Smith officially. I am associate professor of history at National Defense University and author of American Honor. Because I'm at National Defense University, I have to say that all views are my own, not those of the DOD, the U.S. government, or Ivan Drago.
I wonder what the federal government's official position on Carl Weathers is. Like, if we should reach out to someone and be like, hey, do we have a statement?
I actually have an answer kind of for this. So because he played a Navy SEAL twice in Assault on Devil's Island, co-starring Hulk Hogan, I believe it was the Naval Press just put out a statement mourning because of his portrayal of Navy SEALs. So yes, there actually is a government entity that has a statement on Carl Weathers.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. So for people listening, Craig and Rob and I were talking just before we hit record. We don't want this to be a sad thing. Of course, we feel for Carl's family and friends and all that. And we're sad too, but we want this to be kind of a celebration of this guy who actually played this huge role in our lives. Yeah. We're all about the same age. And he is, looking back on his filmography, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of amazing. Guys, what are your first thoughts when we talk about Carl Weathers? Where does he come to mind?
I call him, he is the Kevin Bacon or the Forrest Gump of the 1980s action movie.
Oh. Why is that?
Now, I'll tell you why. Because if you think about it, The dominant feud of the 80s is the Arnold Stallone feud. He's the bridge between them. So you've got him in, obviously, as Apollo Creed. You've got him as Dylan in Predator. But he links so many other figures. Because who does he touch on? You've got Stallone. You've got Lundgren as Ivan Drago. You've got Arnold, obviously. You've got Jesse Ventura. You've got even Van Damme briefly as, you know, Predator.
In Predator,
still,
yeah.
You still see him right. as like, you know, the jungle eye flashing Predator. And if you go back even further to, was it, well, it's technically 78, but who's counting? Force 10 to Navarone.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Harrison Ford and even Robert Shaw. So he touches so many of the key action figures of the 80s. I think he plays this really important role, and he's like the bridge between all of them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. And I'd even go a step further and talk about how Carl Weathers is really one of the great support symbols of American culture in the last 40 years. Because if you think about more recent things he's been in, he's been a part of the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
In a way that, being in The Mandalorian, he was kind of reintroduced to a new generation of fans. But when I heard news of Carl Weathers passing, I was surprised. And again, not to make this too somber a note, I was surprised by how saddened I was by his loss. Because, yeah. Well, you know, you hear about celebrities passing away and it's tragic. When I heard that he had passed away, it made me realize, oh, he's been an important part of my entire life. As long as I've been watching television and film, I've been enjoying film franchises, television series that relate to Carl Weathers. And also, another side note, it is funny how Carl Weathers is actually tied to so many different kinds of American masculinity. Not to get too academic with this on the history broadcast, but we were just talking about his link to Hulk Hogan in a film. Austin
two
Creed,
films, Rod. You can't forget the sequel.
Well, there you go. Right. But also in professional wrestling, Austin Creed talked about how his character in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, Consequences Creed, was based on Apollo Creed. Or you think about Weathers' career in football as well. So he lived the kind of life that I think most American men could only dream of. He was an action star. He was an athlete. He did all these great things, and yet he was beloved by so many people at the same time.
No, that's a great point, Rob. And if you go back to even his football career, I believe he was an undrafted player.
Correct.
At what was it?
San Diego State.
And he plays for the Raiders, undrafted. That's like a Rocky story in and of itself. And he retires early because he wants to commit to being an actor. So that's almost like Jim Brown. You know, granted, I'm not saying that they had the same playing career, but Jim Brown deciding, you know, I want to finish this, you know, Dirty Dozen, and I'm not going back to play. Whereas Carl Weathers, you know, following in his footsteps, you know what? I'm committing to acting rather than to football.
Yeah. And I want to get into his acting range because, you know, we think about these actors. We think about Denzel and Daniel Day-Lewis. Carl Weathers had chops, especially for me when I go back and watch him. Rocky, you know, the three of us did the Rocky IV pod. When we watched the special edition, which really focuses in on him. And he's really good on those scenes that didn't get it, that got it edited up. There's one other aspect of Carl Weathers' life that I'm familiar with, which is that, you know, towards the end of his life, he was actually very active on social media, on Twitter, very eager to engage his fans. I myself even asked him if he would come on to do Rocky II. And, you know, he couldn't. He very politely demurred. He was like, hey, you know, I'm honored. I'm probably not the right guy for that, but thank you. And, you know, gave us his sign off, which was be peace, right? Yeah. He's just very just – and I – man – Apollo Creed told me no, and I was over the moon. You know, Carl Weathers
Apollo
was kind
Creed
enough.
Should have told Rocky no, and then he'd still be all right today.
You know, these celebrities get asked of so many different things.
Yeah,
and I'm just a guy, right? I'm a guy with a podcast, right? But he was so kind and so nice to even in a moment where he had to tell a fan, "Hey, I'm sorry." At least he took the time to say, "Hey, thank you, really appreciate it. Can't do it." But, you know, you know, thanks. And I was, man, I was so happy. I remember tweeting, I was like, I talked to Carl Weathers today. You know, I thought, you know, this was cool.
Didn't we all do that at some point? Because I know he responded to me. I remember when he got cast in The Mandalorian. So he's playing, you know, an alien. And so I said to him, oh no, Carl, you don't have good luck fighting aliens. And then he responded like, you know, ha 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 ha, B-piece or whatever he said. It was, oh, Dylan.
Right. Yeah, he's amazing. So, you know, I think that there was this aspect of, you know, I'm 46, so I grew up in the 80s, really when he's kind of hitting that stride in Hollywood. You know, of course, with you know, most people come to it from Rocky. I won't get into that. Going into all these action films, we're going to be doing Action Jackson on Sunday night on the traditional thing. That's not available, by the way, for those of you listening in. It's not available on any of the streaming services. For the very first time, this is how much I think of Carl Weathers. For the very first time in 5.5 years, we're actually going to ask you guys to rent a film on Amazon Prime or wherever it is that you get yourself. I want to talk about Carl Weathers via Action Jackson, and we'll talk about that here a little bit later. I think he's that important. And so we're going to be doing that Sunday night. So if you want to live tweet with us, 8 p.m. Sunday night, hit play. You know, you guys know the drill. Okay, let me ask you your first question, the next question here, which is, when I say Carl Weathers, let me ask this. What was your first exposure to Carl Weathers? Was which character did you come to first, Craig?
It's got to be Apollo Creed. I mean, it's during the 80s, so it's entirely plausible it was someone else, but it's got to be Apollo Creed. And as much as I love Predator, and you know I love Predator, despite the fact I think that Predator has his most iconic scene, which is the greatest handshake of all time.
Sidebar on that real fast. Craig, the very first time that you and I met in person, we did that handshake.
But we messed it up.
I messed it up. I didn't know.
Too excited.
Well, I was talking to a man who was 6'19" tall, and that was you. So I was like, where does my hand go? I mean, if you haven't met Craig Bruce Smith yet, trying to shake hands with him is like trying to dunk a basketball. That's how tall Craig is. So, but go on.
Yeah, but we ended up doing the Rocky III, jumping in the surf and like hugging instead.
So, yeah, that's nice.
I think it has to be Apollo Creed, and Apollo Creed is the iconic character. I mean, him in his red, white, and blue trunks, his Uncle Sam, or, you know, his George Washington look. I mean, he was like the larger than life figure.
Yeah.
And if we're talking Rocky, Apollo Creed was always better than Rocky.
Oh, absolutely.
And Rocky knew it.
Well, that's what sells the story, is that Apollo Creed is the perfect fighter. I mean, Rocky himself says that later on in the Creed films, which, by the way, he's not in, I think maybe some flashbacks, I can't quite recall, but he looms over those films.
Yeah. So I got a point for you here. The reason why Rocky V is so bad is because it's the first movie without Creed.
Oh.
It's the first movie without Carl Weathers. And it takes how many years to sort of resurrect, you know, the Rocky franchise? It's because you got Duke in that, and it's a reminder of Creed.
Yeah.
And then obviously Creed, you know, Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers looms over all the films, even though Creed 3 was just,
we don't have to talk about Creed 3.
Just awful, worse than Rocky 5. But I think the reason Rocky 5 was so bad, so poorly received, is because Carl Weathers is not there, and you feel that loss.
Rob, what about you? What was your first introduction to Carl Weathers?
Well, you know, I'm more of a 90s kid. I was born in 86. And so for me, watching some of these films, it was more so seeing them on either VHS or cable. But for me, it was also Apollo Creed. Because the first time I really saw him in a movie was, I believe, it was one of the Rocky films. And for me, watching Apollo Creed in those movies, looking back on it now, I really enjoy them because you kind of see, in one sense, the journey of the professional boxer. But in Creed's case, it's seeing the heavyweight champion, the guy on top, having to slowly come to terms with the fact that, okay, I'm not on top anymore. And I think, and not to go on a side note or a tangent, but Rocky III is interesting in that aspect because that's a movie where, that's the one film of the four that Apollo Creed's in that he doesn't actually fight. Unless you count the very end. and we can debate all night about who actually won that fight. Right. But in that film, he adds something to that in terms of not only trying to encourage Rocky Balboa to get his head on straight and to actually get his head back in the game, but Creed comes off as almost this wizened figure. Like, he understands boxing in a way that even Rocky didn't quite understand it, in terms of the eye of the tiger, in terms of what it takes to be a champion. And that's what makes his death in four so tragic, is that Apollo Creed, out of all the characters in the Rocky franchise, is so fully fleshed out by four, and then that's when he meets his demise.
He changes so much over each of the movies. I mean, he's from showboating, sort of, I'll give you a shot, not taking this seriously, to he becomes a villain in two. I think he does.
Two is my favorite performance by him in the Rocky series.
He's becoming more villainous. How how he's goading Rocky, how he's going at, family. I think he's a little bit more villainous there. And then three, you've got the redemption arc. And then four, you've got like the martyr.
Do you guys have a favorite version of Apollo Creed? While we're on this Rocky tangent, do you have a favorite version of Apollo? Like, favorite film that he's in? I know, Craig, your favorite film is four, but
yeah, by far.
Do you have a favorite Apollo Creed performance in the films?
That's hard.
It is.
So he's not in it as much, because we talked about Rocky IV, was it 90 minutes?
Yeah.
He's not in it.
And mostly flash, mostly montages.
Right. But
he dies.
In the amount of time he has, I think he does a lot there. And I know everyone, it's the most comic booky of all the Rockies. Oh, there's no acting. It's just, play, De Nicola, war.
It's my gym playlist, sir.
But it's, I think he does
the scene where he hits the mat and his bottom, where he has the spasm where his bottom kind of comes up, where he's laying on the ground, and like the physical performance of like that death kind of throw is, oh my God.
But it's just, you don't stop this fight no matter what. The fact that he'd rather die in the ring than continue on.
I mean, and he knows he's about to die.
Or strongly suspects it, at least.
Yeah, Rob?
Well, I think for me, my favorite performance is actually Rocky II, going back to him as a villain.
Yeah, me too.
In the sense that in that movie, I've always felt that although Ivan Drago, of course, kills Apollo Creed in 4, Clubber Lang knocks out Rocky in 3, I've always felt that the worst beating Rocky took in the movies was actually in 2. Because Apollo Creed in the first movie doesn't take Rocky that seriously, and then he slowly realizes, oh, this is actually a real fight. In 2, he's coming into that to knock Rocky out. And there's that great moment before the final round where Duke tells Apollo, don't go for the knockout, you've got it won. Uh-huh. And Apollo doesn't listen to him. It's the height of hubris, and yet I understand. Again, Apollo is a villain. He's very villainous, and yet I understand what he's trying to do. He has to prove something to himself at the first fight. Although he knows deep down it wasn't a fluke, he cannot accept that he cannot knock this guy out. And so I love his performance in 2. And also, you see in 2 how Apollo Creed is not just wounded by that first fight in the sense of not knocking this guy out, but there is a genuine sense of pride that he feels in his craftsmanship as a boxer, that he feels a need to answer to, that he has to win this fight decisively. Otherwise, his career is incomplete.
Yeah, quick shout out to Tony Burton. Just doing so much work. We talk about the Rocky films, the first film being a love story, and all these different, really cool, different arcs. Tony Burton's Duke does so much in so little time. That whole don't punch with him, like you're saying, Rob, at the end of 2. God, yeah. This is a man in Apollo who is really wrestling with himself. So Craig, you're absolutely right. It's almost like he's betraying who he is by going after Rocky's family and this, that, and the other. It's, of course he's the showman and things like that. And of course you can't see Apollo without thinking about Muhammad Ali, this ultimate perfect fighter, the showman, all that. And of course, look, Carl Weathers is like a perfect physical specimen on screen in those films, even in like Rocky IV, where he gets killed. the dude looks just, he looks like a fighter.
But even you know? In Rocky One, and this is before like the real workout craze when, you know, he looks the part.
Yeah, he really does. You know, Sylvester Stallone does not look like a, he doesn't look like he does say by Rocky Three and Rocky One. There's a real balance between the two, or, you know, a real difference between the two.
Stallone isn't chasing Arnold yet. So yeah. he's not really hitting the heavyweights.
All right. So we've got the Rocky films all the way through Rocky Five. Rocky IV in 1985, when Sylvester Stallone, the year before Rob is born, defeats communism. So that was cool. We've been over that. And it goes immediately from, say, 85, 2 years later, he's in Predator. Can we talk about Carl Weathers in Predator and what we see in this character and what he brings to that role and that dynamic in this film? And we can talk about Schwarzenegger. God knows I want to talk about Bill Duke, who I love. Let's talk about that. Predator, gentlemen, go.
It was such a complete flip from Apollo Creed. You still got, you know, the hubris, the arrogance. There's that element there, which he did so well. But Dylan is a very different character from Creed. And, you know, Dylan's lying to his friends. He's using his friends. But what's great about bringing in Carl Weathers, there's very few people you could cast in a movie in 1987 that realistically, in any sense, could be any sort of foil for Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Very few. He's one of them. And if you think about that movie, and I know we've said it, some other podcasts have probably said it, you know, the manliest collection of men that's ever been, you know,
should have won an Oscar for testosterone.
Right. It's, yeah. Like, he fits in there. And when he comes on screen, he's got gravitas. You can believe that he's arm wrestling, you know, the handshake arm wrestling with Arnold. You could buy it. But at the same time, it creates some drama because people are used to seeing him as a hero by Rocky IV.
Yeah.
And then having him play against type as the CIA agent who's pushing too many pencils and willing to sell out his friends. It's different, but it's compelling.
Rob?
And yet, you know, as you watch Predator, one of the things about Carl Weathers as Dylan is that you're absolutely right. He's slimy at times. You can't believe he's stabbed Dutch in the back like this. And yet his death scene is still tragic. Like, you still root for him when he's fighting the Predator because you're thinking, okay, if he can just get out of this somehow. And of course he doesn't.
But we got a character arc out of Dylan little screen time this is in a super macho film with all of these guys, and Schwarzenegger and Stallone Ventura and Sonny Landham and Jesse, you know, and all these others. And yet, we find ourselves, like, when he's like, I'm going back, I got, you know, we know he's going to die. We're rooting for him anyway.
Yeah, he does. I think he has one of the larger character arcs. I mean, Jesse Ventura, he doesn't have, he's got the perhaps the best line in the movie, but he doesn't have much of a character arc.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and say it. Best line of the film is what?
Probably, I ain't got time to bleed.
That's right.
I mean, I do like if it bleeds, we can kill it. I like that one too. So
I don't know, Rob, quick Predator best quote. What you got?
It's got to be get to the chopper, do it now. You know, that's always my favorite.
Yeah, I you know, I ain't got time to bleed. And then, of course, the immediate line afterwards, you got time to duck. You know, right. God,
there is a don't forget stick around.
Stick around. So yeah, there are of course so many things. Jesse Ventura on the helicopter with the chew, and this was, there's a lot that I'm not going to quote here. But oh man, is that movie fun? I feel like we're bonding just now. You're absolutely right, and it's weird because thinking about it, we always talk. I think we talked about this when we did the Predator film. Like, who's our second guy? He's probably the second lead in this film. You know, behind.
Yeah, he's definitely the second lead.
Yeah, for sure.
If we're talking powerful characters, I don't have him as two, but he's the second lead for sure.
Okay, well, here's the next thing I want to talk about, because we've litigated Predator to the ends. And here's the thing that's really interesting that I find, is that oftentimes when we talk about the 80s and the rise of the action star, we talk about the Mount Rushmore of action stars. And of course, it always comes down to Schwarzenegger versus Stallone. And inevitably, there's some Van Damme in there, or maybe even some Chuck Norris. But really, Weathers should probably be considered in there. And what I want to talk about him is actually in terms of Action Jackson, because what we see with Carl Weathers, I'm thinking about this right now in terms of the 1980s. Craig, you just mentioned this. You can't really have a foil or someone who can go toe-to-toe with Schwarzenegger in Predator. I'm trying to think about black action stars in the 1980s. He's got to be the guy, right? And I'm just kind of wondering, by the time we get to Action Jackson, which is a B film that I watched approximately 800 times when I was 12 for different reasons. Same reasons I'm watching Sunday. But where let's talk about Action Jackson and what this means in terms of having a big budget or a major action film starring a black man as the lead.
You have to think about it. That is, I mean, obviously you can go back to the 70s and you've got Richard Roundtree and Shaft. And
sure.
But
this is not a blaxploitation film, though.
No, this is not straight up action. No. It's Carl Weathers' chance to get his own name above the title. Pure.
We deserve action. Sequels.
I mean, there's really no one at that moment that's filling that role. I mean, the closest I can think of a little bit was it 2 years later, you're going to have Danny Glover in Predator 2. Obviously, Danny Glover is huge in Lethal Weapon, right. But he's not standalone. But he gets the sort of same treatment as Carl Weathers in Predator 2, where it's, you did so well in, alongside these other action stars, we're going to try you on your own. And that's the only one I could think of at that time. I mean, you've got Denzel coming up, but he's not.
Denzel's not an action star.
No.
Right.
No. He's playing around. And I mean, you could even say you got Morgan Freeman a little bit when he starts, Prince of Thieves. But again, he's not the lead.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you'd have to say about Carl Weathers is that in some sense, Carl Weathers walked so that Wesley Snipes could fly later on in the 1990s.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. I think the thing about Action Jackson is I brought it up to a colleague of mine at Claflin, my friend and colleague, Andre Brooks Key, who does African-American studies. And we were talking about that film and we said what we're talking about right now, which is that should have been the vehicle that launched Carl Weathers' solo career as an action star, because it's such, I mean, it's a film. It is quintessential late 80s, early 90s. You've got Carl Weathers. You've got Craig T. Nelson as this, like, karate villain guy.
So slimy. Have- that was my introduction to Craig T. Nelson. I can't watch him on shows.
I saw Coach first, and then I saw this movie, and I was like, this is the same guy? Like, I couldn't believe it.
He's such a great slime ball in this movie. He's like giving the heroine the vanity.
I mean, and Vanity, of course, is another sign of when this movie was made, right? But I think Action Jackson is one of, whatever you want to do off camera. But I think Action Jackson is one of those movies. It's a reminder of how strong the 80s were in terms of action films, because we have this first tier of action movies, but Action Jackson fits very neatly in that second tier of, oh, this movie is on, you're going to have a good time regardless. And Carl Weathers is a big part of it.
It's a lot. If people have not listened to Action Jackson, I really implore you to watch this with us on Sunday, because it is a lot of fun. It's so much fun. And there's so much critique. We can talk about this being Detroit, Black City, Carl Weathers being the embodiment of black masculinity in, arguably the blackest city in the country. You're kind of in that era. We think about maybe Detroit, Baltimore, New Orleans, but definitely amongst them, right? And there's all these stories. Bill Duke's in that movie. I love Bill Duke. There's so much there. And of course, they're doing some really interesting stuff. There's the flirtation between Action Jackson and Sharon Stone's character, a white woman, right? And whether, of course, what happens to her. If you're not listening, I don't want to spoil the film. really fun action scenes. Here's my thought. Now, as we're talking this, I'm like, why didn't we get Action Jackson sequels? You know,
that's honestly surprising considering how many, you know, by the 90s, you're getting direct to video or later direct to DVD or even, you know, like TBS, TNT, you know, which are showing Carl Weathers movies around the clock, basically anyway.
Yeah.
Why are there not? I mean, Dolph Lundgren made a career off of straight to DVD in the 90s.
I know we're historians. Can I give you guys some numbers?
Sure.
Please, the budget for Action Jackson is $7 million.
For an 80s action movie, even then, that's nothing.
Box office was $65 million. And that's before we count in VHS sales, licensing rights to like TNT, which was on nonstop. This movie did tremendous
profit. Yeah, how is that not for the studios with those numbers? I mean, I'm not a movie exec, but that seems to have made money.
No, and actually, Rob, I think is onto something here when we talk about Carl Weathers, about the idea that Carl Weathers can walk so that Wesley Snipes can fly. So, and frankly, I think you could draw lines to Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace, God rest him, man, could have been that next guy. It's like, I don't know that Boseman becomes like the next super action hero, but you know, his work in Black Panther, and he does some really cool detective stuff. Like, he Carl Weathers legitimizes action hero stuff as a black man. Does he not? By the time we've got Action Jackson.
Well, I think you could even go further than that, because I think he is a figure that, you know, regardless of race, that because of Apollo Creed, he is mainstream.
And because he's good.
Because of Apollo Creed, he is like a patriotic symbol.
Okay.
And, you know, he's dressed like Uncle Sam. It's not it. You know, there's no issue there. So I think you make a fair point, but I think it's even beyond that, that – yeah, he is absolutely, you know, early, is he the first, you know, black action hero? Maybe not, if we're going a little bit back a little further, but he's certainly among them. And I think he's an action hero for anyone. I think that's even more impressive for his career.
Man, I'm a 9-10-year-old kid, and I am like watching this dude. Thinking he's the first shot in Action Jackson, when the kid runs up to the desk and the camera all the way up and then the kid faints. So good. Rob, what do you think?
I mean, I think, again, he is great in Action Jackson. And in fact, one of my favorite action movie lines ever is from that film.
Say it. Do it.
How do you like your ribs?
Oh,
you
know? Yes. God, I love that.
Well,
it's my favorite quote by him.
He says, "Barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs?" And it is quintessential 1980s action movie, right? In that moment.
God, I love it. Yes.
But it is also interesting, though, with going back to Craig's point about Carl Weathers as a patriotic figure. I think you're absolutely right. Because he, in the early to mid 90s, he was playing a lot of different kinds of roles. And it was, you kind of got the sense that he could do action movies at any time, but he could do more serious, sophisticated roles as well. Not to say that action movies aren't sophisticated, because they actually tell stories in a really interesting manner. But the other role, if you're asking me about roles I know him best for, it's obviously Apollo Creed, Dylan, and Action Jackson. But right after that is his recurring role in The Heat of the Night in the mid-1990s, a television series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's doing a somewhat passable Southern accent, but it's the kind of role where you know he could do action at any moment, but most of it is just him playing a dramatic role, and it's actually really great to see.
Let's talk, but also not just drama, let's talk about his comedy. We have to talk about...
Oh. Obviously,
Happy Gilmore.
Well, I want to get there, right? Because we're certainly working our way towards Happy Gilmore. I want to ask you guys. So, Action Jackson comes out in '88. Rob's talking absolutely. He starts to make this a little bit of a pivot. We see him on TV a little bit. He does a 9 episodes on Tour of Duty, the Vietnam War film, Vietnam War series that was on. Of course, Vietnam was all over the cultural zeitgeist at the time.
I watched that show like crazy. I mean, is you know, maybe this is the prequel to Dylan and Dutch in Vietnam.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing that Weathers pivots to television in the late 80s and early 90s in ways that we don't see mainstream actors doing until the 2000 teens, realistically. He does Tour of Duty. He does Dangerous Passion, which is I don't even know. A show called Street Justice is Adam Boudreau. And then, of course, as Rob was saying, In the Heat of the Night from 93 to 95. In between that, he had one film. Have you guys ever seen Hurricane Smith?
I've never even heard of Hurricane
Smith. No, I have not seen it.
May I give you the Wikipedia entry for Hurricane Smith? A 1992 Australian action film directed by Colin Budd and starring Carl Weathers as American oil field worker named Billy Hurricane Smith, who travels to Australia on a quest to rescue his sister where he gets mixed up with drug smugglers.
I'd watch that.
I need to watch this in my tonight. I am watching this movie later. I think we all need to actually come back and do like a live stream watch of this film together.
See that, but that's
okay.
Here's the thing that I have with a lot of the action movies today. They take themselves too seriously. I haven't even seen this. There is no way this movie takes itself too seriously. There is going to be Crocodile Dundee references. He's going to be slapping knives at a guy's hand saying, I don't need the knife. It's going
to
be great.
Guys, I don't know that I need anything else in my life more than I need to see Hurricane Smith tonight. All right. But Craig, but not to bury the lead, Rob and Craig, you're just mentioning, we see a pivot. We see his first movement towards straight up comedy. This is out of nowhere in 96. And it's interesting because I was having this conversation a little bit earlier with a friend of mine. It's almost like Carl Weathers becomes like this guy who you can relate. Is it who's it that's in Tim Time Warp Dance? What's the movie?
Tim Curry,
right? Where you can guess the age of someone by the way that they relate to Tim Curry. In a lot of ways, it's the same way with Carl Weathers, right? The three of us relate to him vis-a-vis Rocky. A lot of folks, a little bit younger than us, their first introduction to Carl Weathers is Happy Gilmore. Can you guys talk about Derek Chubbs Peterson?
You know, Carl Weathers has a habit of losing his arm and his hand against adversaries. That's what
tappy. Yes.
It's a good role for him.
It's fun,
and you wouldn't expect it. Like that. Like if I was going to say who is going to show up in that movie, Carl Weathers is probably the last person I would. Like I would have figured, like it would have been like you know Chris Farley or someone like that. But Carl Weathers,
yeah.
I mean, Rob, what do you think? Random. I mean, it seems so random at first viewing, and yet, like you said, so many folks know Carl Weathers for that movie. Over almost everything else he did besides Rocky and Predator.
Can I ask you guys how many times that you saw today, and again, with the announcement of his passing, memes of Carl Weathers as Chubbs in heaven on the internet?
I posted something about, you know, Apollo Creed, and then everyone, the responses were, you misspelled Chubbs Peters.
Exactly right. Thereby proving the point, right? It's a fun role, and the movie doesn't work in a lot of ways, right? Because they're really kind of playing on the idea of Carl Weathers' masculinity versus Adam Sandler's lack thereof. Carl Weathers' sense of being.
But what's funny is in that movie, Sandler's supposed to be, you know, this, you know, masculine hockey enforcer.
Right.
But if you're looking at Sandler, he is not by any means some action star. He's not even
sir,
a hockey enforcer. And there you've got, you know, still, I don't know what he was probably like 50s there, maybe pushing 60.
You know, I don't know because I'm pushing 50 now. I'm 46. Yeah, and I hate looking at these dates to figure out, oh my God, that guy had gray hair and I'm approaching his age.
Let's say he's your age, but obviously has bigger arms and he's just like hulking.
The hell you say, sir? Tomorrow is arm day. Robin Mitchell, if you're listening, what's up? Go on. Rob is blushing right now.
But this is, but I think you're absolutely right, though. I mean, this, and again, we've been talking about his range as an actor, right? That he, when he was given a chance to show some comedic chops, he always did so with gusto. And in fact, I would even say that in a lot of ways, he represents the arc that several 80s action movie stars made, right? Because, you know, Schwarzenegger did the same thing. He was showing his comedic chops all the time. These were Stallone men who were willing to, they were willing to expand their horizons of what they're doing in film and television.
Right. And he's so much fun. And that's really the thing, looking back today, we start to think about, wait, what did Carl Weathers do? And he had actually this tremendous range. He's so much fun. You don't think about Apollo Creed or Dylan as chops. And all I can think about is Weathers' own mindset, where he's like, yeah, I want to take this role on. This will be fun, and I'm going to play it. I'm going to go be in this dumb movie about this hockey player with this kid from Saturday Night Live. And he's so much fun in this movie. The thing with the alligator, it's just great. I love him.
I think he steals every scene he's in from Sandler.
He does!
Oh, definitely.
Rob, what do you think? I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah, definitely. No question about it.
My favorite is when Adam Sandler's apologizing. You're smart, I'm dumb. You're handsome, I'm not very good looking. And he replies, well, I'm just happy you could admit that.
I just want to say that after Julie Bowen, Carl Weathers is my favorite part of the film. So, you know, he almost seals the film. All right, so 96, he's got this really interesting that's going on. So he comes out with this film, 96, comes back again, apparently with a real friendship with Adam Sandler, because he does a cameo as Chubbs again in Little Nicky. Did you know this?
I know the movie exists. I had
Let's
no
not
idea.
Ever talk about it again.
I have is Chubbs in heaven or hell? Because wasn't Little Nicky like the devil's son or something?
I don't know. But he's in another Adam Sandler film afterwards in 2002. He is the voice of the GNC water bottle in Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Nights. So clearly the two of those guys got on well. And I love the idea that Carl Weathers and Adam Sandler are buddies.
Now, here's the thing, though. How did he not work him into The Longest Yard?
Boy, is that a great question.
That's a good question.
There's who knows, like, whether it's a scheduling thing, this, that, and the other. That's a great question, because you think he's perfect. He played football. The man was in shape until the day he passed. He looked terrific. You know, if you go back and you Google Carl Weathers, the man was in clearly physical fitness was continued to be a part of his life till the very, very, very end. I salute him on that.
And he was always very, you know, big about, you know, diet, what he ate, you know, not again, he blames Arnold Schwarzenegger for getting him into smoking. Because on
the cigars,
Arnold would just walk around smoking cigars, and I probably kept away a few mosquitoes. And that eventually enticed him. So it's your pressure.
Listen, I also smoke cigars, so you know it's okay. After Happy Gilmore, we start to see this weird thing with his filmography. It looks like he's doing some smaller films, some TV films, Assault on Devil's Island, Assault on Death Mountain, some paycheck films. I wonder what's happening in his career, because here's the interesting thing. If Carl Weathers' career is happening 25 years later, I think he's still a legitimate action star. What I'm talking about is if you say compare Carl Weathers in, say, 1997 versus, say, Liam Neeson with the Taken franchises and things like, it's almost like a thing of bad timing, because you could totally see him kicking ass as a 55-year-old man, it's like the audiences weren't ready yet.
He could easily throw him in Man on Fire or the Equalizer franchise.
Equalizer, yeah.
Easily. He could have played that again. Honestly, 2004, he could have done Man on Fire.
Right.
You know, he could have done like a Death Wish type role.
Yeah, you know, we don't see a whole lot. He's the narrator in The Comebacks. He's in Balto 3, Wings of Change, is the voice of Kirby. We see him in 2019 in Toy Story 4 as Combat Carl, the voice, which is Toy Story 4. That's legitimate. There's something else going on, and I don't know enough about Carl's career or the way that Hollywood is working, but there's a difference in his career afterwards. And I feel like we missed something here.
But I think there's a lot of that with that sort of 80s action star.
Yeah.
Who they may not be the supermen anymore, right? They're still right. Are in shape. They still probably could play the roles, but there's very few of them that continue in the same way. I mean, Arnold's the exception. I mean, Stallone, yeah, but he needs to like bring all the action heroes need to combine in the Expendables to, you know, bring back.
Did we not see him in the, he was not in the Expendables.
No, he wasn't.
It's kind of surprising that he wasn't when we think about it. And again, this could have been, I don't want to say he was being boxed out by Hollywood because perhaps like he made these decisions to not be, who knows, right?
Maybe
he was,
I don't know.
He's a working actor throughout the early 2000s and through the 2010s. He kind of does some guest appearances. He's in ER in 2008. He's on Psych. He does some roles on Chicago PD and later on Chicago Justice, where he does 13 episodes there. He's on Law & Order SVU in 2018. And then we see a reemergence here. So this final group of people. And I want to talk about The Mandalorian. Because there was all this talk about this. There's going to be this new Star Wars TV show, a live-action Star Wars TV show. Okay, Pedro Pascal, all right, I'm down. And then they announce Carl Weathers. And guys, I love Star Wars. It's one of my three favorite things in the world. Star Wars, Coca-Cola, and Kentucky basketball, right? And for me, hearing that Carl Weathers was going to be in Star Wars, I was like, I'm all in. What were your thoughts when you heard Carl Weathers going to be in The Mandalorian? What's Carl Weathers going to be part of Star Wars?
All right, so I'm not even a Star Wars fan
at
all. I was just happy for him. And I was happy that he was coming back to the mainstream.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I grew up watching him. And I knew he was good. So, again, I'm not the biggest Star Wars person. Some of the Star Wars stuff I've seen, I just don't think is particularly good. But I knew he would be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, I was happy for him. And that's all I would say on it.
You know, I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan. And when I heard that he was going to be in Star Wars and The Mandalorian, my first thought was, I've got to see this. I've got to see him in Star Wars with my own eyes. Because it was one of those casting decisions you never would actually imagine ever happening, right? And honestly, he was really good in The Mandalorian. I felt that he was a particularly well-done character. I was actually surprised by how much he was in the first season. Because I kind of assumed it'll be like a one-off, maybe two episodes. But he becomes a key part of that whole story involving the Mandalorian.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing with Weathers, because in the film, he's in The Mandalorian. He actually has an arc as well, for those people listening in. We like him, and then we find out he's a little shady. And then we kind of bring him back into the fold. And the weird thing is, as masculine as he is, as you know, he's got this 30, 40-year career now as Hollywood masculinity. He's kind of, in a lot of ways, the cuddly guy we kind of come back to. He's the safe space in a lot of ways with The Mandalorian, is he not?
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, I mean, even when there's those moments in The Mandalorian where you realize, okay, this guy cannot be completely trusted. After all, he's working with bounty hunters and such. There's still a sense of, oh, I can still ride with this guy. You know, he's within the Star Wars universe context. He seems like a likable character. And so, again, every time he was on screen, I loved it. And again, going back to the point about range, I think one of my favorite parts of season one Mandalorian is, I think, the final episode of season one, where they're in a battle sequence, and he asks what we call Baby Yoda, Grogu, to do the force thing. He's like, do the thing with your hands. It's such a hilarious scene. Do that thing with your hands. And I never related to a Star Wars character more, because I think if we were in the Star Wars universe, we'd be saying, hey, that thing with your hands, do that again. That was pretty hilarious.
Oh, God. Yeah, he played for comedy a lot, and he was great. And he actually directed a couple of episodes of The Mandalorian. And I remember when I had seen like directed by Carl Weathers, I felt awesome. I was like, cool, this guy is getting to direct. It's, for me, it was like watching a guy who has played, as we are now realizing the last several hours as we're rethinking his career, this integral part of my life. And I love that he was directing this other part. It felt full circle to me. There was a part of me that was like happy for Carl Weathers, a man I'd never met, although I've now tweeted that. And I was happy. Guys, what are your thoughts on Weathers directing?
Yeah, I mean, and whenever I feel the same way about a lot of sort of these 80s, aging 80s action stars that I grew up with. When they get back in mainstream, they get a movie in the theater, they get something, you know, prominent happens, I feel happy for them. And, you know, though I've never met, you know, most, you know, haven't met them, haven't spoken to in any capacity, I'm still happy to see that they are succeeding. Maybe that makes, you know, that little kid, you know, smile in me. Maybe it makes me feel like I was part of it in a way that I don't with, you know, newer actors and maybe others have that, but feel the same way about, you know, who they grow up with. So I don't know, maybe, you know, the Chris's, Pine or Evans or Pratt are going to be, you know, the Carl Weathers or Stallones or Schwarzeneggers or Van Dams for some next generation. But it's just sort of like, I'm happy to see that. Carl Weathers starring, you know, prominent role, I'm happy for him. Dolph Lundgren gets back in the movies off a DVD, I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
You know, Van Damme gets an Amazon series, good for you, JCVD.
I don't know. I never really liked Van Damme. He always kind of seemed like an asshole to me, but I don't know. Rob?
Well, you know, I think with Carl Weathers in The Mandalorian, I think him directing an episode or a couple episodes is particularly important because with the episode Chapter 12, The Siege, a lot of folks noted that it was very much in the vein of an 80s action film in how it's structured, how the action flows. You could tell that Weathers was having fun, but he was also bringing his own experience as an actor and a performer into how that episode felt. In fact, I kind of want to go ahead and watch it this evening. Again, just rewatch it just to get that feeling back. But I think Craig's absolutely right.
Don't we watch it? What was it? Hurricane Smith?
Yeah, we're watching Hurricane Smith.
Well, I will get to that soon enough.
It's going
to
cost you 49 cents to rent that film. So
you may be the first person to ever rent it.
But I think going back to Weathers, though, I think going back to Craig's point, in a lot of ways, what Carl Weathers and those actors represent is a different kind of film actor that you can make an argument we don't really have in Hollywood anymore. There have been debates about how people relate to actors and actresses now versus, say, 40 years ago. And there's a very different feeling there. And I think part of it is nostalgia. Part of it is just our childhood experiences. But I think part of it is also folks like Weathers and Stallone and Schwarzenegger. There was a genuine sense of these guys are action stars and they're having fun being action stars.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of actors now, I think, there is a sort of frustration, with the exception, I think, of Chris Evans, who seems to really enjoy being Captain America. But most of them are
Hemsworth seems to enjoy it.
Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Extraction series I'm actually enjoying very much.
And there's also the last movie star, Tom Cruise.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to interject right now. I'm sorry that we have to subject you to Craig's man crush on Tom Cruise, but we will have a full-on series of 18 to 25 six-hour episodes each of Craig waxing poetically about how much he loves Tom Cruise. All right, guys, I want to start to bring this to its logical conclusion. I want to talk to you about a couple last little things here. We've been talking about Carl Weathers for the last hour now. Do we have a favorite Carl Weathers performance?
Again, you have to go with Apollo Creed just because of the duration. You get four movies to establish it. So that's not even fair.
Right.
So if it's got to be Apollo Creed, but I probably growing up, I probably saw, again, Rocky IV probably more than any other movie. So if I had to put it for one, it's got to be Rocky IV just for duration. And that movie's on, I will never turn it off.
Rob?
You know, I think of course Apollo Creed is his best role. I would argue again that his arc in 2 is especially fascinating. But I would also give a shout out to his performance on television in the series In the Heat of the Night. I know I keep coming back to that, but he's really good in that, and it's actually rather interesting to see him on screen with an actor like Carol O'Connor and actually able to hold his own, you know, because you, again, if you're watching it in the context of the 1990s, if you're watching it for the first time then, you know Weathers primarily as an action star. And you're seeing him in this show and really being a dramatic actor and doing it in ways that, again, you could see him have action sequences as a police procedural, but he's also very much ensconcing himself in this small town southern political system, and he really pulls it off quite well.
But think about who he's stepping in for.
Right.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Think about
it. Takes him, as an actor, I have to imagine, like, you're stepping in one of the great, not just great black actors, but great actors, period. It's like, okay, I'm going to follow in this role. I can do this. And I think Rob's absolutely right. I remember watching this show as a kid and not understanding Poitier's role, just coming into, I mean, look, standing aside Carol O'Connor, he's awesome. He's really good in that. And Weathers is, you know, he brings his physicality, but also the cool part about Weathers was that you could always see, despite this like chiseled Adonis frame of a man, there you could always see the cerebrality of Weathers, you know, performances. You could always see the wheel spinning here.
But what we haven't talked about, and I'm shocked, especially, you know, given what the two of you are currently sporting, the Carl Weathers mustache, which was inducted into the Mustache Hall of Fame in 2016. And you could argue rivals that of Tom Selleck.
I don't know that anything, Rob. I think, what's the greatest mustache of all time? It's got to be Sam Elliott, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Selleck. Sam Elliott.
I mean, that's not a slight to Tom Selleck.
I mean, Burt Reynolds is in there too.
Definitely. We actually just recorded a pod on Smokey and the Bandit with.
But just think about it. Carl Weathers had a trademark. I mean, I've seen him without the mustache.
And it's interesting. I've never thought about him as with the, like, we saw him with the beardless Greef Karga in The Mandalorian, but
where
that's not like
a goatee. But
yeah.
Right. I picture him with the mustache.
He works. You're absolutely right.
That's every much his calling card is Selleck or Burt Reynolds or, you know, Sam Elliott.
I do want to go on. I also am a Carl Weathers fan, which is the reason why I called this meeting tonight and give my favorite Carl Weathers performance, which was as MP officer in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So if you go back to watch that film, look for a young Carl Weathers in 1977, the year of my birth. So this is like, this guy worked his way up. Now, obviously, I'm an Apollo Creed guy. Rocky 2 is my favorite of this entire series. I've told it's my favorite training montage. I think he's great, but he's great in everything. He's in all four of the films that he's featured in. He's just, you can't have Rocky, which is probably the best sports film franchise in history.
Yeah.
Without having Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed. You cannot have it.
What was crazy though, and I recently watched the Sly Sylvester Stallone Netflix documentary.
As did I, yes.
And Carl Weathers was only cast at the very last minute when the actor who was supposed to play Apollo Creed just couldn't make it for some reason. And it was just like they basically casted him based on he was there.
Did you see Sylvester Stallone's Instagram post on Weathers' passing?
No, I didn't. I saw the Schwarzenegger one and I saw Adam Sandler's. I didn't see Stallone's.
Stallone posted a video.
Oh.
And that man is utterly deflated in that video. It's hard to watch. I have a lot of respect for Stallone and Schwarzenegger, as I do Mr. Weathers. And it's interesting because it's with Mr. Weathers' passing, we seem to have realized that here's a guy that meant so much to us that we maybe never even realized. You know, it's like he was always there.
But he's the thing is, if you think about it, he's the first of that 80s action star to go.
Oh, guys, I've been thinking all night about the idea that, as you know, as Carl Weathers and Mr. Weathers passing, for those of us who grew up as children watching him and have steadily moved up now into our 30s and 40s and 50s and so forth, there is a sense of mortality as well. Yep. When Absolutely. Our supermen begin to fall, you know, what does this mean for our own lives? And I've thought about that a little bit today. I wonder, as I head now, I'll be 47 in July, July 19th, for any of you who would like to scam me or send presents. But as I start to wonder about, like, what's my experience here? You know, 75 feels young. Mr. Weathers was 75 when he passed. Feels young. And I'm not that far behind. So what does this mean? I want to ask you guys another thing real fast. Favorite quote?
I retired more men than Social Security.
Well, I've already said, how do you like your ribs? But I think my next quote would have to be, there is no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. From Rocky. Oh, God. Yeah. When you were saying that earlier, I was thinking about that earlier. The quote. Oh, my gosh. Right. What about your favorite? And I didn't ask you about this earlier on in the email I sent to you guys earlier. But what about your favorite catchphrase from Rocky IV when they're introducing Apollo Creed and he's got 37 different nicknames? Craig's is.
We all Do agreed it. About this. We did it on the Rocky IV one. We all
Do agreed. It.
Count of Monte Fisto.
Count of Monte Fisto. God, I love it so, so very much. Oh, gosh, man. Look, I think I echo the two of you guys when I say that I really hate that he passed. Finding out really affected me in ways I was not expecting. We're kind of used at some point in time to hearing that this celebrity passed or that celebrity passed or things like that. And Craig, you said earlier, this wouldn't kind of affected you in ways you weren't expecting. Maybe, final thoughts on Carl Weathers, what he meant to you guys as film buffs, as just guys. What do you think?
He reminds me of a time when the muscles were big, the explosions were huge, and movies were fun. Well, not again, Jason.
Not as big as mine. I know what you're saying. It's
no,
okay.
Nah. You got ways to go. But it was a time when movies and actors didn't take themselves so seriously, like Ross said earlier, and they weren't all chasing Oscars. The action movies were like the pinnacle. It wasn't, I am doing an action movie so I can go do some prestige film with Spielberg. Weathers had done it already in 77.
Absolutely. Rob?
I think one thing about Weathers that, and Carl Weathers, that I keep coming back to is he was, number one, such a versatile actor. But number two, I think about him, and I can't help but put this into the conversation as well. He was a black actor from New Orleans who was born during the Jim Crow era. And he got to see so much in his own lifetime. And he was able to live a life that everyone respected. I've been blown away by how many actors who worked with him in all these different films are saying how much of a great guy he was and how much they're all gutted by his passing. And finally, I'll finish with this. We've forgotten one other role that younger folks know him for, which is he was in one of the more recent Mortal Kombat films, Mortal Kombat video games. He does the voice of Jackson Briggs, which is basically him playing Dylan all over again. And so there are younger fans, Gen Zers, who know him as basically playing Dylan in a Mortal Kombat game. He lives such an incredible life as an actor and as a human being, and we should all be thankful that we got a chance to enjoy him while he was on this earth.
Yeah, definitely. If you think about it, his life is more Cinderella story than Rocky's. A fictional character.
He's great. It's great. Guys, I'm really happy you guys took the time to do this. We put this together very hastily. There's no music here tonight. There's no production or anything like that. I think the three of us, like a lot of people who are listening right now, have a kinship to Mr. Weathers. I think we all feel his passing, and I think it's a real celebration to say, hey, we got to enjoy this guy's craft, and that's cool. So, dude, thank you so very much for being here tonight, for sharing your memories, for your thoughts on Mr. Weathers. Let's go watch a movie.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you a little bit later.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right.